So we're in a series called What's Next, and we've been looking at different prophecies, their fulfillment, and what it means for us today, okay? So I want to have us look at Isaiah chapter 7 if you've brought your Bible or you've got the Bible app. If not, we're going to put it up on the screen. It'll be okay. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And we got a title for the message today, which some of you guys who know, this is a hit or miss, but this one actually came from Courtney, our campus director in Hiawassee. What's up, Courtney? Hiawassee, love you guys. God's doing something special over there. The title of the message today is Born for the Battle. Born for the Battle. And if you've come to a couple Christmas services, you may go, that doesn't sound like a Christmas sermon. And I'm here to inform you, if you've missed this service already, today is not going to be your average Christmas service, okay? So you're like, oh no. It's just time to turn around. If you need snacks, we have them out back there. If you need some goldfish or something, we'll help you out. You'll power through, okay? But Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this is the prophecy. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. As we close out this year and head into next year, I felt like God said, this is something we've got to really focus on, that God is still with us. He's still available. He's still working. He's still moving. But God called his shot in Isaiah 7 long before the text in Luke 1 that we're going to look at comes about. And I want us to just know two things before we get into the fulfillment of this prophecy. And the first is what is planned by God may not be planned by us. What's planned by God may not be planned by us. And you may have realized this in life. Sometimes you've got plans. We talked about it last week as God is shepherd. It doesn't always go the way we thought it would. But God, as we're seeing in these prophecies, has a full capability to plan things and see them come about. And the second thing is humble beginnings can still be used for miraculous moments. Humble beginnings can still be used for miraculous moments. So I want us to now look at Luke chapter 1 as we get into it. Luke chapter 1, we're going to see this prophecy fulfilled. It starts in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born holy, and he'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say that she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. You may want to underline or highlight this, for the word of God will never fail. Amen. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. So we see that God calls his shot. Isaiah 7 says, I'm going to bring all of this about. Luke 1 says, this is coming to full fruition. And maybe you come to church for the first time and you're asking, that sounds really nice. I don't really know what's going on, but why did Jesus have to come? Like, if why are we celebrating Christmas? Why are we looking for this every single year? We kind of go through these same couple verses. Why is this so important? We've got a Christmas choir, people singing powerful songs, but why does all of this happen? Why would Jesus live? Why would he come? Why does he seem to need to die on a cross? Why does he need to live this perfect life? Why does he need to do all of this? And I'm here to tell you that this move of God, this shot that he called, was very offensive. And if you're not a sports person, offensive is where you go attack, you go move. This move of God was offensive. He was making this move, but it was both also offensive and offensive. This move of God was offensive because it means that you and I need a savior. It means that you and I can't do this on our own. It means that you and I can't trust on ourselves. You and I can't call on ourselves to be saved. This move was both offensive to make a change in this world, but it was offensive to the world because you and I can't trust in ourselves. And I don't know about you, some of us, we don't like to hear that message. We want to say that if we can pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, we can trust in ourselves. You could be anything you want to be, but the Bible seems to say something different, that you and I, if we have any hope of salvation, it doesn't come from ourselves. And this move of God is offensive, but also offensive. It's on the attack. It is moving. But then verse 30 says something so interesting to me. It says that God finds favor with Mary, but it's intimidating for her. If you look at verse 30, she's scared. Sometimes when God will call you to something, when he makes this move, when he calls you forward, it can be intimidating. It can be challenging. It can be difficult. And maybe some of the people who were standing up here today will say, yes, I came to testify what God's doing, but it wasn't always easy. It wasn't always a cakewalk. I was intimidated. I had some really scary moments, but God has put his favor on me by his power and his grace, and I'm thankful. So God's made this move. But then if you know the story of Jesus, and maybe you don't, that's okay. I'm going to tell you what happens. He's born, just like Luke 1 says. He lives a perfect life, and then they arrest him and they kill him. And 3 days later, he comes out of the tomb alive. And then after he does that, he does a little bit more ministry, and then he ascends back to heaven. And if you remember what Isaiah 7 says, it says, God is with us. And one of the logical questions at that point would be, if God is with us, if that's what the prophecy says, how is God with us, but he ascends back to heaven? Right? I mean, that would be one of the things, like, if God's supposed to be with us, why isn't he here at church with us today in the flesh? Like, why isn't he available for some counseling on Wednesday? If God's with us, then where is he? Why isn't he here? Did the prophecy fail? And see, Jesus luckily talks about this before he goes back to heaven. I want you to look at John chapter 14. And sometimes I have a tendency to make us jump around from the Bible, and that's why we put the verses up on the screen. You can write down the verse. I encourage you to go read these chapters back later in the week. But Jesus says something in John 14 to help us see that this prophecy has not failed. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives in you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. So Jesus answers this question, did they fail in the prophecy of God still being with us? And he says, no, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit who will never leave you, never abandon you. And by the way, I'm coming back for you. Here's the thing. If you follow Jesus, Jesus says, I will send you Holy Spirit. You will never be alone. You will never be alone. This prophecy is not failing. God is still with us. You look around. I can tell, by the way, I know I talk about this for some time. I can tell the Christians who watch too much news. I can tell because it's all gloom and doom. The world is ending. It's all falling apart. And I'm like, man, I read the Bible. And yeah, there's some tough times coming. But I didn't read the part where we lose. I must have missed that in our Bible reading plan. I saw a Bible that says God is with us. God is with us. And as we close out this year, I'm going to tell you just a secret between us. Sometimes I do this from the pulpit. The message we're doing right now was supposed to be in the next series. Supposed to be in this next series, and God said, I need you to move it to Christmas. And I tried to explain to God what Christmas was. I said, this is not a Christmas message. I know we do it differently here at Vertical, but this is real different. And the Lord responded with, that's not what I asked. That's not what I asked. So we're going for a different Christmas message today, and I'm trusting in God, who's been faithful to me when it comes to messages, that he'll be faithful again. And so we're going to see what happens. But I'm here to tell you what the Lord has laid on my heart is that this next season spiritually, we're entering a season spiritually that is going to be hand-to-hand combat. It's going to be hand-to-hand combat spiritually. And I don't want that to intimidate you. And the reason is, luckily for you, the Lord has already told me what that needs to look like. Okay, so if you are willing to take some notes, if you're willing to prepare, I'm going to tell you how to be ready for next season, not by my own power, but by the Word of God that always applies to our life, even today. And so this next season is going to look like hand-to-hand combat spiritually. But the first thing, before we even get into what we need to be doing to be ready, I want to tell you something, because I always want to get up here with good news, because I think that's what the Bible is. I think the Bible's good news. And I'm going to tell you good news today. Y'all want some good news? Okay, I'm not going to tell you we're about to enter hand-to-hand combat and be just like, God bless. You know, if you need to hunker down, you come over to our church office. We got no windows over there. It's going to be good. Just hole up in that fort. I'm going to tell you some good news, and it's 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, which, by the way, if you're looking for Bible reading this week, 1 John is a great book to read. I'd encourage you to read 1 John. But 1 John 4, verse 4 says, "But you belong to God, my dear children, and you've already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." Oh, that's good news. Somebody may come and tell you, hey, we're about to enter hand-to-hand combat spiritually, but the Bible's got really good news because Jesus says, I'm going to send you Holy Spirit. And then the Bible tells us Holy Spirit in us is greater than anything this world's got. So we may be going to hand-to-hand combat, but I'm here to tell you what God's put in you, if you follow him, is already greater in and through you than anything you're going to face. That's good news. But that's going to require, what's difficult for some of us, is a reliance on God and not ourselves. What's not about to save us in this coming season is how gifted we are, how talented we are, how big our churches are, how many locations we have. None of that is going to matter. It's will you rely on the Spirit that is in you that's greater than that's in this world. So that's good news for us. But it also tells us something interesting, is that what's in us is greater than that in the world. So are we here to fight other people? Is that what's coming? And I'm here to tell you at this church, absolutely not. I'm here to tell you, Christians, if you follow Jesus, your enemy is not people. Your enemy is not people. If you want to write this down, I want everyone to be on the same page as we move forward into what is coming. I want people to write this down. We don't see people in sin as a fight to be had, but as a rescue to be prayed for. We don't see people trapped in sin as a fight to be had, but a rescue to be prayed for. People are not our enemy. And this has plagued Christianity for a really long time. It's this us versus them mentality. And I'm here to tell you that's not what the Bible teaches. As we enter hand-to-hand combat, like, I don't want you thinking about your arch nemesis. That's not your enemy. Now, you may not like them at the workplace, and I totally get that. But they're not your enemy. We're not about to enter into a season fighting other people. Other people, those are the people we pray for. Those are the people we're believing God's going to do something in their life, that he can radically change their life. You know who would be glad for people to not see them as their enemy? People who were standing here. They don't need to be viewed as the enemy. Do you think they're the enemy now? No, of course not. God's done something powerful in their life. That's what we are here for. We are entering into hand-to-hand combat season not to fight against other people. But then the question is, well, then who are we fighting? Like, are we just fighting the wind, the air, or like people we can't see? Like, do I need to go back and watch Walking Dead again? Like, is it zombies that are coming? You need to tell me who we're entering hand-to-hand combat season. Any of y'all watch Walking Dead? Three people, okay. All right, maybe that's a binge watch for you this coming season. That was a big deal in the Kite household, okay? We watched the season finale, and it was underwhelming in my opinion, but I don't want to spoil it too much because it's like 12 seasons, and you're like, wait a minute, 12 seasons, and at the end it's underwhelming? I may have ruined it for you, and I am sorry. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, because God tells us who we're going to fight, and it doesn't seem to be zombies, which is devastating for some people who really would like to see that happen. I don't think we're going to find it in Scripture here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Don't trust in yourself, trust in his mighty power. Put on all the armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against other people, but against evil rulers and authority in the unseen world. against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So I'm going to give us three keys because I'm a pastor, and apparently they'll take my certification if I don't give 3 points. So I'd like to keep that. And so we're going to do 3 points. Can y'all hang with me for 3 points? I promise we won't do 4. I can't promise that. I don't know where we'll be. But 3 I've got in the notes at least. And the first thing, if we are going to win in this next season, if we're going to win when it comes to spiritual hand-to-hand combat, the first thing we have to have is Holy Spirit. You're going to have Holy Spirit. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you try to go into a hand-to-hand combat spiritual season and you don't have Holy Spirit, it's not going to go well for you. Because right now the Bible just says you're going to be fighting enemies you can't see. Good luck doing that without Holy Spirit. So I'm here to tell us, what happens sometimes, though, if you've been following Jesus for a while, you start to figure out, this is how I'm supposed to act. These are the things I'm supposed to do. I know how to be a good person now. I think I've got this Christian walk figured out. And I'm about to tell you, you're about to get lit up in the next season. Like, this is my warning pre-hand. You're about to get torched in the next season because you are going to find out it's hard to fight an enemy you can't see. But by the power of Holy Spirit in and through you, well, that's greater than anything you're going to face. And so we've got to learn to rely on Holy Spirit and not ourselves. I don't care how talented you are, how gifted you are, how experienced you are, how long you've gone to church. That will not win the day in the coming season. Holy Spirit will win the day in the coming season. And we've got to rely on Holy Spirit and not ourselves. It says at the end of those verses, pray in the Spirit at all times. And I'm not about to get super charismatic here. If you want to go listen back to the message, we talk about Holy Spirit in a sermon series a couple months ago. You can see all that on YouTube. But it says we've got to rely on Holy Spirit. At the end of these verses, at the very beginning of the verses, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The bookends of this fighting, all about God and not ourselves. So if you want to win in this coming season, I'm going to tell you, there's 3 points. It doesn't matter point 2, and it doesn't matter point 3 if we don't get point 1 right. We have to rely on God and not ourselves this coming season. And good news, the Bible says the God we rely on is greater than anything we're going to face. But we've got to start to rely on what God has sent and given to us and not ourselves. And it doesn't matter how talented, gifted, or skilled we are, that will not win the day. Felt like as I was praying through this, felt like God was really leading me, and he was saying, Philip, I'm fully capable of mighty works in this coming season. I'm not up here wondering if I'm able to perform mighty works in this coming season. What I'm looking for in this coming season is who wants to participate in the mighty works. God's not wondering in this next coming season, can I win the battles? Can I win the day? Am I capable of miracles? God's not wondering that. God's looking for, according to the Bible, he says he searches the earth for hearts that are fully committed to him. What God's looking for in this next coming season is who wants to participate with what he's about to do. Who wants to participate with what he's about to do? The second point is people who win in hand-to-hand combat are well-trained. They're well-trained people. If we put on the full armor of God, we can resist and be standing firm, is what it says. Well-trained people don't need to go looking for a fight. As we enter a season as Christians, we don't need to go around looking for fights. You ever met a Christian and they're just kind of always on edge? They're always kind of looking for a fight? People who are well-trained and well-disciplined, we don't go looking for fights. We follow the Lord and where he's going, but well-trained people are ready when a fight comes. And that means putting on the armor, putting on the equipment, putting on the things that God has given us. But a well-trained army also learns how to stick together. Some of you may know this. I love history. Like, I'm the one person keeping the History Channel going. I'm rocking it. Love me some History Channel. Well-trained armies didn't fear when they were going to battle. They understood what could happen to them. They were cognitive of what could happen. But well-trained armies were not worried when they went to battle. They've prepared for this. They're equipped for this. They've got the right armor for this. They said, okay, if this is what we have to do, if the fight has to happen, we're good. We're ready. As we start to enter into this next season, I want to ask, is that how you feel? As we enter in this next season, do you feel ready? Because you go, yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to rely on Holy Spirit, not myself. I'm good with that. I'm ready because I know that God who's in and through me is greater than what I'm going to face. I'll rely on that. I've put on the armor of God. I'm good. I'm ready. Well-trained people. One of the things we do as a church, and we're about to complete this for our first year, is we have prayer and fasting every day of the week. Every day of the week, and you may not know this, we have someone, at least one person in our church, who is praying and fasting that day. This is going to be our first year we complete that. We're about to do it again next year. This past year, we had 50 people sign up to participate. And this coming year, I'm believing that we're going to have 75 people as part of our church participate in prayer and fasting this coming year. And so if you're looking to sign up for that, you can email me, come talk to me. We'll get you on one day of the week, and we just ask that you fast one of the meals that day. You pray, you seek, you pray for other churches, you pray for God to move. We believe that's powerful, but it's also not a reliance on ourselves. But well-trained people, they're going to pray, they're going to fast, they're going to be in the Word. This coming year, we're going to complete my time here at Vertical. This will be our third year that people have been able to sign up and read through the Bible in a year. We're doing that again next year. If you get my emails during the week, I'm going to have a list for you to sign up. If you want to pray and fast, we're going to have a list. If you want to read through the Bible in the year, these are how we win. Those are well-trained people. It's not going to be couch potato Christianity. The third thing, if we're going to win in hand-to-hand combat, is we have to be well-disciplined. We've got to be well-disciplined people. There was a legendary battle that took place, and some of you may know about it. It got immortalized in an absolutely horrifying movie, but it was the 300 Spartans. 300 Spartans, and if you don't know about that, I've got good news again. I'm about to tell you. But there was a King Xerxes who came from the Persians, and he had tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of troops, and he was coming to conquer Greece. And Greece was able to muster less than 10,000 troops. So if you're good in math, you're like, well, that doesn't sound good for them. And they knew that. So what they did is they called on the Spartans. Greek was kind of run like city-states. And then if it was kind of like, you know, if the United States went to war, they may call people from the south, if you know what I mean. I don't know if y'all still not with me. I didn't get one. Okay. I don't know. Praise God, I guess. So they call the Spartans, and in Spartan culture, by age 7, the boys were already being trained for war. They weren't waiting to figure out how to become warriors. Spartan culture was designed completely around war. These were elite troops. These were the special forces in Greece. And as they called these guys forward, they had a king over just 300 troops. And they went forward with the Greek troops, and they had a certain formation that they would run. And it was a formation where every person had a shield and a spear and a sword, but they would line up right next to each other so they could put shield on shield on shield and almost create this wall that they would advance behind. And they knew they were outnumbered greatly. And so what they did is they picked this point in the battlefield where there was a narrow mountain pass. And it didn't matter how many troops they were up against because only so many forces could come against them at once. And King Xerxes goes up and sets himself up on a hill to watch the battle because he's like, my troops are going to run them over. And what was so crazy to them is before the battle, the Spartans were borderline psychotic. I will give you that. Before the battle, they're out just combing their hair. They're throwing on some body oil. They're just kind of hanging out. And it messed with the minds of the Persians. They're like, what are these people doing? This is how they get ready for battle. But see, the Spartans, this was just another day. They were well-trained and well-disciplined for this moment. If you wanted a fight, they're ready. And so they line up, they get in their battle line, and wave after wave after wave of the enemy comes at them, but they can't break the wall. They're not ready for it because every person stood next to each other. When the Spartans went to war, there wasn't a ton of them. And so when you got into a line, you could look down the line and your uncle would be down that line and your cousin would be down the line and your next door neighbor's next to you and your brother's right there next to you. They knew the people they're in line with. You weren't just fighting for yourself, you're fighting for your family. And they would line up against these walls, and wave after wave would come. They'd hit the walls, but then they'd be met with the spears, and the Spartans and Greeks were ready. And they are destroying the Persians. And finally, the Persians, they catch a break. A traitor tells King Xerxes how to get around the mountain pass and wall. So when King Leonidas learns that, he sends all the Greek troops back. He says, go back, defend, we'll hold the line as long as we can. But go get ready for what's coming. I can't imagine that moment as a Greek soldier. You knew you were winning, you're doing good, and you have to look the Spartans in the eyes. They stand behind, knowing you're never going to see them again. They're giving up their lives to hold the line as long as they can. So the Greeks all leave, and there's a couple hundred Spartans left. And King Xerxes gets confident, and he starts sending in more and more troops again. And they still can't break the line. They still can't even break through the lines of the Spartans. And finally, King Xerxes has had enough, and he says, they call out to the Spartans. They said, we have so many arrows, we're going to blot out the sun. And the Spartans' response was, then we'll fight in the shade. I mean, I'm telling you, somebody I don't want to fight against is that kind of mentality. Somebody who's like, you can have the fiery arrows of the enemy, and they can blot out the sun, and my mentality is, bring it on. Because I've got a shield that the Bible says that can put out those arrows. And that's why it really matters who's next to you in line. It really matters who's next to you in line. In this season of coming to hand-to-hand combat spiritually, you can be relying on Holy Spirit, you can be well-disciplined, you can be well-trained, but if we want to win the day in this coming season, it matters who's next to you. It matters who's next to you. One of our values as a church is to be bodybuilders. And that means we look out for one another. We build each other up. But the value, if you read it on the website, says, and we do that for other churches too. Because in this coming day and age, it shouldn't be we just stand in line with each other. It should be, man, if Pastor Ricky at First Baptist calls and says, Vertical, we need you to come serve or be here or pray with us, you know what they should expect? We step up right next to him. They're not going to stand alone, not while we're here. You know what matters is if Pastor Jeff calls from House of Prayer and says, Philip, we need vertical praying. We know you're fasting. Will you be with us on this? You know what they should be able to expect? Vertical church will stand right next to them. That should be our mentality in this coming season, is we're not just well-trained, well-disciplined just for our own church. We will be there for other Bible-believing churches, because you want to see something change spiritually, it will be when Bible-believing churches start standing next to each other. Okay, we're still going. That's not just something I'm praying. It's I believe something is going to spiritually shift when churches start to stand next to each other and start doing what Ephesians 6 calls us to and saying, I don't care if we're entering hand-to-hand combat, because I will stand next to the Bible-believing churches in this season and we'll have each other's backs. And man, when you form that wall, that shield wall, and you stand next to each other, it doesn't matter the waves that are coming, because if you are relying on Holy Spirit in this season, if you are well-trained, you're well-disciplined, you are praying, you are fasting, you are seeking God, then we can have a mentality at that point, bring it on. Bring it on. Not a reliance on ourselves, not just a reliance in the well-training, not just the discipline, but more than anything, we believe the Spirit of God that is in and through us will win the day, because it is greater than anything that's in this world. And so when I ask you, as we close out this very traditional Christmas sermon, I want to tell you, you were born for battle. Jesus was born for battle. He was born and said, God with us. And I want to ask, as you enter this next season, are you living a life that says, God with us? Are you living a life that if you line up next to me in the battle, that I can count on you? Are you living a life right now that if you line up next to me, I can count on you to hold that shield and cover me just like I'll cover you with the shield? Can I count on you? Are you relying on Holy Spirit? Are you well-trained? Are you disciplined? Are you in the Word so you know how to operate your sword? Can I count on you? Because I think as we enter in the season, you should be able to count on me. You should be able to count on me, and I should be able to count on you. And Holy Spirit may be speaking to you right now. Holy Spirit may be speaking to you right now, and he's telling you, you've been relying on yourself. You've gotten to the point where you rely on your talents, your skills, you're doing this in your own strength, and it's time to rely on Holy Spirit. You may be knowing, man, I'm not really overly trained. I'm not putting on the armor. I don't know how to have a shield of faith. I'm not in the Word. I'm not really equipped. I'm not well trained. And Holy Spirit's saying, it's time for that to change. It's time for that to change as we head into next year. Holy Spirit may be speaking to you, and it's time to be well disciplined. It's time to be well disciplined. It's not a season for couch potato Christianity. It's time to be well disciplined, following through on these things that God is calling us to according to His Word. Because what's going to matter is, can we count on each other when it comes time to line up? When it comes time to line up, can we count on each other? That's going to matter. And I'll tell you, just like the Spartans, I'll take 300 people that are ready to do that over thousands. Because I know as long as those 300 people are relying on Holy Spirit, they're well-trained, they're well-disciplined, bring it. Bring it. We're ready. The Lord told us this was coming, and we're ready. And we'll have each other's backs. It's not a numbers game. It's a training game. Will we be ready? And see, here's the thing. It's just like the Spartans. Man, by age seven, they were well-trained. I'm going to tell you here at Vertical, Children's Church is not babysitting. Children's Church is not babysitting at all. We're going to view it just like the Spartans. We have to train up our future leaders right now. I can tell you the world is not waiting. I can tell you some of the most strongest addictions, some of the strongest worldly agendas are starting in elementary school. You know what Tracy's going to start teaching soon in Children's Church coming up after they finish this series? The book of Colossians. That's what your kids are going to learn back there. The book of Colossians. They're going through the Bible. They're getting ready. We have to raise up leaders. Because you know what? I'm not looking for a certain age next to me. I'm looking for the person that's following through on what they're supposed to do. That's why youth group is so important. Are we raising up young leaders? Are they understanding that we are raising up warriors for the kingdom? This is not a passive season. As a church, who are we raising up? And can you count on me? And can I count on you in this coming season? As we close out, I want to ask, is God doing something in your life? Is God doing something in your life? And you know, Holy Spirit's speaking to you a little bit, and he's telling you, I'm calling you. And maybe it's time for you to rely on Holy Spirit and not yourself. Maybe it's time for you to become well-equipped and follow through what Ephesians is telling us and saying, I've got to learn how to hold a shield of faith. I've got to learn how to wield the Bible. I've got to understand these things. Or maybe you're saying, I've got to get well-disciplined. I've got to be well-trained here. I know God's calling me to step up in this season. I know he's doing something in my life. As we close out, whether you're in Hiawassee or here in the building, I'm going to ask you something. If you know God's doing that right now in your life, you know God is speaking to you, and he's saying, I'm calling you to step up. I'm calling you to lead. I don't care if you're a man or woman. We believe you're a leader by the power of Holy Spirit. If you know Holy Spirit's asking you to change something in your life as we head into next year, I want to pray for you. But I'm asking you to step up, and I'm asking you to come forward. I pretty much never, ever do this as a pastor, but this is important. I know what we're about to go into, not because of my own wisdom, not my own strength, but simply because Holy Spirit has said this is what's coming. And if you know God is speaking into your life and it's time for you to become more reliant on Holy Spirit, or you to become well-trained, or you to become well-disciplined, I'm going to pray for you, but I ask you to come forward. Is there anybody in the building? You know, as we enter this next season, God's doing something in your life. You're called to be a leader. Hiawassee, I know it's tight over there, but I ask you to come forward. If you can't get forward, Hiawassee, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I got you, Brother Mike. So, church, I ask you to have their back. Reach out your hand toward them. By the power of Holy Spirit who is sent so that we are never alone, I pray that you will raise up these leaders and come to accomplish the things you are calling to them. Help them to be reliant on you, Holy Spirit. Help them to be well-trained, well-disciplined. Won't you use this church to make sure they never walk alone? Won't you raise us up as leaders so when the moment calls, when the bell rings, when the time comes, you will be able to call us forward, God, as soldiers who will stand our ground in the power of Jesus Christ, that we can look the enemy in the eye in the season of hand-to-hand combat and say, our time has come and we are ready. So bring it on by the power of God in and through us. Lord, we ask that you do what only you can do. Do something new, something fresh. Build us up, God, in the power of Holy Spirit to rely on you, to know whatever you've put in us is enough to overcome the world around us. Let us have a faith, a trust in you, Holy Spirit, and not in ourselves. Do what only you can do in this coming season, because we believe the victory has already been won by the power of Jesus Christ. And we will not trust in ourselves. We will not trust in Vertical Church. We will not trust in the American church, but we will trust in Jesus Christ. So raise us up as leaders. Do what only you can do. And may we be ready for this coming season of hand-to-hand combat as leaders. Whatever numbers we have, we'll stand our ground and believe that what you are going to do in and through us will be the difference, Lord. So, Lord, do what only you can do. Lead us and guide us. We trust you, Jesus, and not in ourselves. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.